It's not that you have more money, that you can buy things. It's that you seem to live in a different universe, larger. You're so smart in everything. You've had all this education in everything. Maybe I know more about navigation. And 10 days ago, I knew more about this electronic system. But you learn so fast. I always thought I was smart. I was smart. I had perfect scores. And you come waltzing in and learn it without trying, it seems like. I feel like you're gonna read me, learn me, as fast as you have everything else, and then I'll just be a bit of experience that enriches your life. Oh yes, I had a woman level once. She was a nice girl, but rather limited. That's what's bothering me. I don't want to be your adventure with gender orientation.
Oh.
Which is what Mahari says you're doing. She says you're an RE and REs are all made hetero because your families want you to marry.
Mahari was supposed to be playing a role.
Brun didn't want to be talking about this now, and especially not after Mahari had taken the high ground.
And besides, she's wrong.
About what? Registered embryos in general or you in particular?
When I was in that cave, I realized that I didn't want to be anyone's designated blonde. So I understand that you don't want to be my fling with sexual experimentation, sort of a bauble on the necklace of my life story. But look, that's not how I've seen it. Serkan, I admired you. And the way that Captain Serrano talked about you. If it hadn't been for you, they wouldn't have come after us in time. Then we met. And I liked it.
But do you love men or women?
I don't know. I like both. To have as friends, I mean. I never really thought about it. Because it didn't really matter at all. Yeah. Until now.
How can you not think about it? You have to think about it.
I didn't.
Brun had assumed, growing up in her family, knowing she was a registered embryo, that she would eventually marry and have children. Most, if not all of them, also registered embryos. Being an RE determined your destiny. Only the Freelofs could choose. But on Serkan's face was an angry look that didn't want to hear about complications. She had to try anyway.
You know about genetic engineering.
Of course. What does that have to do with... Oh.
I am a registered embryo, Brig. You knew that before Mahari said it. I told you early on. She's right. At least I thought it meant I wouldn't love women, just because... Well, because it's so expensive.
Serkan's brow wrinkled.
Expensive? Loving women?
No, being an RE. They're tough enough to produce with well-mapped sets, and we're fourth-generation RE, so all our stuff's on file except any new mutations. Because of that, we're all set to be heteros. So the work that goes into each of us will be available for the next generation.
There's always AI.
Brun realized Serkan didn't know how registered embryos were made. Most people didn't.
AI is already part of it. Harvesting of ova and sperm, in vitro fertilization, and then splicing.
Then what does it matter what orientation the registered embryos have if the whole reproductive bit is just handled outside?
Prudence. In the important families...
She hesitated, trying to think of a polite way to say it. There wasn't, so she plunged on to the second level of reasoning she'd been told about years before.
If things go wrong, if something happened to the registered embryo program, the families would still need children. We'd have to provide them the old way. And they'd want us to want to. At least, not to want not to.
So it's to protect the family against the loss of childbearing capacity if the medical infrastructure fails?
Right. My mother said that even then, the orientation of women wasn't critical. In some cultures, women can be forced to bear children no matter what their wishes. But our culture thought that was unethical. Although it seems odd that they would consider it ethical to determine our orientation so that it wouldn't be overruled later. But formal bioethics always seemed full of loopholes to me anyway.
I still think you have to know what you love, though.
I love lots of things, Brig. I'm that sort. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. That's what got me into the fast crowd at school, really. I wanted to try everything, do everything, be everything. Logically, that's not possible, but it would be such fun.
And fun is what matters?
Not all that matters, no. But look, I'm trying to be honest with you, Brig, so please try to understand. I don't think it's being rich that did this. I think some people are like me, rich or not, R.E. or not. When we're trying to think about how to get Lady Cecilia out of that horrible place, I'm the one who thought of the hot air balloon. And one reason it worked was that it was so utterly ridiculous, impossible, crazy. I loved that about it, the very outrageousness of it. New things, different things, they draw me. I asked Dad. I thought maybe the RE process had fouled up with me. And he said they'd asked for an extra dollop of some set of multi-named neurochemicals that produce my sort of person. They'd opted for conservative intelligence with the older ones. He said they wanted a little sparkle in me.
I think we are too different. Maybe it's your genes and maybe it's your background, but we aren't enough alike.
Not for a permanent sexual relationship, no. But I don't see why we can't enjoy each other now and be lifetime friends. I admire you. I like you. Doesn't that help?
Yes. I just wish...
You need a long-term lover. I understand that. And if you want Mahari instead of me...
No!
I thought you liked her. She's angry enough at me. I thought the two of you had some kind of...
We don't have any kind of anything. I mean, I like her. As a sort of big sister, but like any big sister, she tries to run my life too much. And she's hard.
That's being ex-military, probably.
I still don't like it. She makes me feel like a fluffy, helpless kitten, and I don't like feeling helpless.
Fluffy?
Well, I have to admit I've enjoyed shopping with you. I was brought up to be practical, of course, but it's kind of fun to dress up.
So, even if you think fun isn't enough, even if you think I'm just a spoiled rich brat with more money than sense... You could have fun sometimes.
With you, you mean? You think I should just relax and enjoy you and forget the future?
Forget it? Never. But right now, you can't go hunting a better partner. I understand that you'll want to when you leave this ship. If you choose, we can be friends. I'd really like that because I like you, and the friendship can last beyond this voyage. Lovers? Again, that's up to you. I don't want to hurt you. Though I might have already. I'd like to help you, if I knew how.
Sirkin looked at her, at the body she now realized had been carefully engineered for health and beauty and even sexuality, at the mind behind the eyes, which had also been engineered for intelligence and whatever the genetic specialists meant by sparkle. She couldn't help admiring Brunn. She suspected that that, too, had been built in, as ineradicable as the choice of height and coloring. In one way, it seemed weak to admire, to love, someone engineered to be admirable and lovable. It gave her the queasy feeling that she was being manipulated by the genetic engineers. Yet Brunn had been the material of their manipulations. She was even less free than Sirkin. She couldn't help being who she was, any more than Sirkin could help being attracted.
I would like to be friends. I don't know if it'll work in the long run, but I do like you. And it's fun having another young woman to talk to, but not more than friends. I could fall for you, Brunn, and if there's no chance for permanence, I don't want to risk it.
Fair enough. Now, if we can go back a bit, I'd like some help with the navigation sets our beloved captain set down for me.
You're going to end up better at navigation than I am.
Not so. I'll pass the test, that's all. Didn't you ever know anyone who could pass tests but flunked real life?
The tension of the past conversation shattered, and Sirkin found herself not quite in control, but content to be so.